In light of the fact that the Nationals have formally abandoned their commitment to reach net zero emissions by 2050, some questions are being asked as to how and why this decision protects the best interests of the regional Australians they claim to represent. Here to help answer these questions, these seemingly unanswerable questions, we've got a regional Australian, Andrew Bray, National Director of the Renewable Energy Alliance, joining us from one of New South Wales' prime wind districts near the Capital Wind Farm on Lake George in the Southern Tablelands. Morning, Andrew. How are you?
Yeah, very well, thank you. How are you going?
Very well, thank you so much. Thank you so much for joining us here this morning. Now, the argument by the Nationals in regards to abandoning net zero is that since Australia committed to its net zero target, electricity and gas prices have increased dramatically, and they're pointing to statistics that one of their own think tanks has put together. Is this a legitimate reason?
Look, I think they decided quite a long time ago that this was a political direction they wanted to travel in, and all the stuff that happens after that is really just a justification for the political direction of travel. So a lot of things happened in 2021. I've had a look at that report that they draw on, and the uptick in power prices around there is in about 2021 or 2022 is really quite dramatic. The obvious thing that happened then was that Russia invaded Ukraine and the price of gas and coal went through the roof.
Yeah.
And because we use so much gas and coal still in our electricity system, so did our power prices. So that was what it was all about.
Yeah.
Yes.
And with this, obviously regional Australians are the ones that are most impacted by climate change. Doing less on climate action seems to be not the best course of action for the party that says they're going to represent regional Australians.
Yeah, look, I think it's really important that any discussion, from anyone who wants to weigh into the argument in regional Australia looks at those kind of facts. It's the impact of drought on drought and floods, for that matter, for farming, particularly into the long term, are pretty well documented now, and they're going to make farming much more difficult. They remove dollars out of farmers' pockets every year just through the more difficult operating conditions they find themselves in. So that's really has to be a part of it, and I don't think that's acknowledged enough in the discussions about how working towards climate action and building renewables happens in the region.
Well, you're there at the coalface, aren't you? They're sort of in regional Australia talking to farmers. There's like a palpable fear amongst farmers about renewable energy, or are people ready to embrace it because they understand what's going on?
Yeah, look, this is something an area I've sort of worked in for probably 12 or 13 years now. So, not that much has changed in terms of the general situation. I mean, any time there's a development proposed, you're going to have some people strongly for it and some people strongly against, and the vast majority are sitting in the middle and actually not that fast one way or the other. There was some polling done recently which showed that when you go into the renewable energy regions and ask people if they support renewables, about 62% of people say they do. Somewhere around 17% of people say they oppose it. So when you hear some rural politicians going out there and say, "Oh, everyone's against it," actually what they're doing is they're just amplifying some voices who will oppose projects. And that's coming back to your first point, it's really about just justifying the political direction. So you really need to take those kind of observations with a grain of salt.
Yes. Well, I'm certainly hoping that obviously the people there who are directly affected by all of this will let their vote speak for them. It's not just something that's confined to regional Australia. Any break with the Paris Climate Agreement is obviously going to hurt Australia's standing around the world and potentially also hurt the economy.
Yeah, and there is particular interest there for farmers because so much of Australia's agricultural output is exported to other countries, and places like the EU are starting to introduce duties on goods from countries if they don't have adequate sort of climate approaches. So that sort of stuff is actually going to hurt farmers in the long run. So, you know, there's a lot of reasons why net zero and, you know, working on climate action is something that will benefit regional Australia, and that's why, you know, the National Farmers Federation and other groups like that are, you know, remain behind it.
So the National Farmers Federation, obviously representing farmers, they're happy to take on renewable energy. They see the benefits.
Look, I think once you get into that discussion, it's qualified. So, I mean, they certainly stand behind a net zero approach.
Yeah.
And also, I mean, even just from the point of view of consistency, you know, you can't have the country sort of bouncing from one side to the other depending on a change of government. This sort of stuff is too important for that and really needs to be bipartisan. But when it comes to rolling out renewables in the regions, there are lots of benefits there and they're widely recognised. But it is, you know, there are a lot of challenges as well, and I think they need to be properly acknowledged and worked through. So we certainly are advocating for regional communities to be a much bigger part of the conversation around how renewable energy is worked out. We work with sort of local community leaders across the country who are working on trying to make sure their communities benefit from these projects and helping them into that discussion. And I think there's a lot we can be doing in that space.
Okay. I don't want to show my cards too much, but I'm obviously supportive of renewable energy. It's very likely that I'm going to get in conversations with people who aren't as supportive as I am. What are your tips or hints before I let you go there? If you're in a discussion with someone who's totally against renewables, is there sort of like a quick and easy way to sort of say, well, no, look, here's the tangible benefits for why this is a good thing?
Oh, well, the reason we're doing it is just crystal clear. Essentially, it's just keeping the power system moving. Like the kit that we have, we're relying on at the moment, you know, aging coal-fired power plants that are way past the end of their operating life and they're starting to break down. They're the biggest threat to reliability of the system, because if a large coal unit goes out, you're suddenly 400 megawatts of energy short, and that might last for, you know, a few weeks, and it's happening more and more often with these plants, particularly in the hot weather. So we simply need to be building more we need to be building more energy plants, and renewables are the cheapest form of those, so whether it's solar farms, wind farms, batteries, those kind of things. Much cheaper than, you know, if the Nationals got their way and, you know, we had new coal-fired power plants being built, we'd be locking in high prices and high pollution for decades to come. So it's not really an option.
And obviously we don't want that. National Director of Renewable Energy Alliance, Andrew Bray, thank you so much for joining us here this morning on 2SER Breakfast.
Yeah, pleasure.